We know the Lord saves us, but we honor men that preach the gospel. We honor people that live right. And so we honor the soldiers of our great nation. 2 Samuel 1:1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. Came to pass on the 3rd day, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent, earth upon his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth, did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? He said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered that the people are fled from the battle. Many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young men that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the younger man that told him said, as I happened chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. When he looked, behold, behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. He said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he would not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was upon his arm, and they brought him hither to my Lord. Well, David's, to give you the short of it, David's not going to believe what this guy said. Verse 11, then David took hold of his clothes, rent them. Likewise, all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted, even unto even, for Saul, for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord, for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. Saul had become David's great enemy. David here is in hiding because of Saul. But when Saul, king of Israel, and his son Jonathan, and his other sons were killed in battle, David had such a heart for God that he mourned for Saul. And he gave him a eulogy, like Saul's about the greatest man that ever lived. And he honored him. The living honored the dead. And one reason that David so honored Saul is that he died on the battlefield in the defense of the country and these Philistines that had come upon them. Now tomorrow, November the 11th, is Veterans Day. There's a lot of history in why that November the 11th was chosen. About 25 million veterans are in America today. And this thing we call Veterans Day was first called Armistice Day because of the victory of World War I. 11 o'clock on the 11th day in the 11th month, 1918, was the end of World War I. 11th hour on the 11th day in the 11th month. That's amazing to me. Well, time progresses and the Congress makes Armistice Day a national holiday in 1938. Then in 1971, Congress passed the National Holiday Act and it made Veterans Day the fourth Monday in October. When they done that, it had already been changed to Veterans Day from Armistice Day. When they did that, there was such an outcry of the veterans across America that they had to take it back from October the 4th Monday to November the 11th. What the government wanted to do was to make a 3-day weekend. So what the veterans said is you're making Veterans Day a day of convenience and a day of entertainment. And when you do that, it'll lose its meaning and it'll lose its significance. And it'll just be another day of hamburgers, hot dogs, and having a big time and not remembering what the day really means. And for the most part, Veterans Day has been forgot about. But it's the day when we celebrate freedom, when we thank God for freedom, and we thank God for liberty. For years and years, no business would stay open. And then this convoluted thinking was that we're so close to the proximity of Thanksgiving Day that we don't want to have another day where all the business is shut down. Boy, it meant backward thinking. If it wasn't for Veterans Day, there wouldn't be a Thanksgiving Day. But see, the American people are drunk on pleasure and entertainment. In 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 2, we see that the day was important. When did this man come and let David know that Saul and his men had died? It was on the third day. Did you notice that? And that third day was important to God. It's important to the Lord. Certain days are. You go back in the book of Exodus. What day did God say was to become the beginning of your days? Started a new month. What was it? Passover. And it was to be observed strictly on that day. And it has been all these years. Then David took all of his clothes and rent them. Likewise, all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted. And even for Saul, Jonathan, his son. For the people of the Lord and the house of Israel. Because they were fallen by the sword. And that's what I was saying. The living are honoring the dead. When you see a casket draped in the American flag. But it means something. That's talking about a soldier. That's talking about a veteran. That's talking about a body that gave many of them the ultimate prize and gave their life that you can have liberty today. In the book of 1 Samuel 31 verse 8, it came to pass on the mark when the Philistines came to strip the slain. They found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head, stripped off his armor, sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth. And they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And later on it tells us the bodies of his sons were there also. Why did they do that? It was the ultimate humiliation to cruelly treat the body of a dead soldier. And they stripped them of their clothes and they fastened them to the city wall for everybody to observe and everybody to see. It's a cruel enemy that takes delight in beheading a man and put it on YouTube for the whole world to see, like the Muslims have done of American soldiers, of contractors that went to Iraq, of those that take great pleasure of dragging the bodies of U.S. soldiers through the streets like they did in 1993, Mogadishu, Somalia, commonly known as Black Hawk Down, October the 3rd and the 4th, 1993, it was called Operation Gothic Serpent. These men in these U-860 Black Hawk helicopters were shot down. The subsequent rescue operation is what brought the death of many of these soldiers. The battle resulted in 18 deaths, 80 wounded, one helicopter pilot captured as part of the rescue forces. The Americans took out between 1,500 and 3,000 of the enemy and also all civilians. Now, why did they do that? because you leave no man down on the battlefield. You go rescue him. You try to rescue his body. Because there's a sacredness that's been placed to the body of an American soldier because of what it represents. Those were Army Rangers. And the code, some of the code of this elite group of soldiers called the Army Rangers. The code is, never shall I fail my comrades. I will always keep myself mentally alert, physically strong, morally straight. I will shoulder more than my share of the task, whatever it may be. 100% and then some. My courtesy to superior officers, neatness of dress, care of equipment shall set the example for others to follow. Energetically will I meet the enemies of my country. I will fight with all my might. Surrender is not a ranger word. I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy, and under no circumstance will I ever embarrass my country. What to God? We had Christians like that. Readily will I display the intestinal fortitude that's required to fight on to the ranger objective and complete the mission, though I be the lone survivor. That was the heart of those men that day that ferociously fought for their comrades. Leave no man left behind. I don't endorse this movie, especially for children. And if you watch it, you need to have it edited. It's awful language in places. But the movie Saving Private Ryan, one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. And it, what the story is, this woman had four sons in the military. All of her sons but one have died. And they can't tolerate the idea of her losing all of her sons. And there's this all-out effort made to find Private Ryan and bring him to safety that his mother wouldn't suffer the loss of all of her sons. When the movie starts, it's the U.S. forces as they descend on Omaha Beach on D-Day. June the 6th, 1944, there was an old soldier, World War II veteran that was there that day. Ask him a comment on why these brave men stormed the beach at such a cost. The old veteran replied, it wasn't the flag and it wasn't freedom. It was because my buddies were getting shot to pieces and I had to help them. But when it comes down to it, that's what they're fighting for. They're fighting for their buddies. They fight for their comrades. America's far removed. It's on the other side of the world. They're trying to survive. They're trying to help their buddies survive. Would to God we had that mentality at the house of God, that we'd help each other survive. We'd help each other go on down the road to serve God in this hour. 1 Samuel 31:11. We see, what a story. The inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead will forever be remembered for their act of mercy and the kindness they showed to honor the soldiers of the Israeli army. 1 Samuel 31 verse 12, all the valiant men arose, went all night, took the body of Saul and the body of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Old Saul had delivered the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead from the Ammonites in 1 Samuel 11, verse 1 through 11. Now they repay that act of kindness and they go all night at great discomfort. And they risked their lives
to take down the dead bodies of Saul and his sons who were being disgraced and being humiliated. And they went and put their life on the line to rescue that dead body that it might have proper burial. One of David's first acts of mercy when he became king of Judah, he said, "Have we showed kindness unto the men of Jabesh Gilead?" And kindness was shown to them. Later on, David goes down to the territory of Jabesh Gilead, and he takes the bones of Saul and Jonathan and brings them out to the tribe of Benjamin, and they have an official burial, and they honor the bodies of the dead soldiers. I'm here to tell you, that dead body represents all the love and sacrifice of that man. And God takes notice of it. How people treat their dead says a lot about them. Oh, I think about the example that David said here. Boy, you think about how I got this from somebody. A lot of different people have written this. I don't know who to give credit to. But we honor the soldier. We honor the veteran. Those who have fallen. Those who are alive. It is a soldier, not the reporter, that's given us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, that's given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the community organizer, who has given us freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, serves beneath the flag, whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag. It is the soldier, not the lawyer, that's given us the right to a free trial. It is the soldier, not the politician, who's given us a right to vote. And today, we salute the veteran. And today, we thank God for the American soldier. And today, we give honor where honor's due. And thank God for them and their parents and their family for the sacrifice they made for you and me. You want to hear some great words? John Stuart Mill, philosopher from London, England, died in 1873. Here's what he said. War is an ugly thing. And it is. Some of them said war's hell. War is an ugly thing. War's not hell. Hell's worse than war. But I probably know what they're trying to say. War is an ugly thing, but not the ugliest of things. What could be worse than war? Here's what he said was. The decayed and degraded state of moral and patriotic feeling is much worse. The person who has nothing for which he's willing to fight for is a miserable creature. Boy, that's right. Boy, we got a cause to live for and a cause to fight for and a cause to die for. So we honor the veterans that have died. American Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, the Vietnam War, Operation Enduring Freedom, Desert Storm, the Iraqi War, the Continuing War on Terrorism. We honor the Green Beret. We honor that Navy SEAL. We honor the Army Ranger. But we honor the cook in the mess hall. We honor those that are hauling gas to the front line. We honor those that are on stateside and keeping the supplies going. If they serve, if they wear the uniform, whether they're heroes on the battlefield or not, we honor them and salute them for what they've done for us. Boy, you think about how they've suffered. Our soft generation has no clue. The cold of Europe and the snow of Korea and the humidity of Southeast Asia and the heat of Iraq and Afghanistan
They trained and they suffered in the mud, in the sweat, in the pain, and in the loneliness so they could be prepared to fight for their country. They didn't do it for money. The most underpaid of any occupation in the world is the American soldier. When you're in the foxhole, being shelled at night, oh, when you're shivering in the cold and eating K rations, when you're picking up dead pieces of your best friend because he stepped on an IED, there's no amount of money that can pay a man to do such a thing. Sleeping in trenches that are half full of water, hiding or under the cover of a Humvee, trying to escape the scorching heat of the desert. They went without comfort. They went without sleep. They went without proper rest. How they went in the loneliness of the hour. They went when they could barely keep their eyes open, when their mind was about to disintegrate because of the pressure that was on them. Thank God for the American soldier. Thank God for the veteran. We give them glory. They go to where it's dangerous. They go to where there's no hope of success. Oh, the suffering, the sacrifice, and the service. We need to honor them. We need to honor their families. We need to thank God for them. We need to value freedom. Freedom of speech. Freedom to bear arms. Freedom to vote. Freedom of worship. Freedom to assemble. The advantages of freedom. They didn't get here mysteriously out of the wind. Somebody died. Somebody fought. Somebody had a vision. Somebody had wisdom. And God, in His mercy, has put all this together so America can be a bastion of freedom where the gospel can be sent out to the world. I don't know if you've heard of this man, but he's a great man. His name is Ronald L. Coker. Ronnie Coker was born and raised in Alliance, Nebraska. Shortly after high school, he got his draft notice. He didn't wait to be drafted. He went down and joined the Marine Corps. After his recruit training, PFC Coker was deployed to Vietnam. He arrived in November of 1968. What he did will forever immortalize and illustrate the heart of the soldier. He arrives in November of 1968. March the 24th, 1969. Coker was walking the point in the narrow jungle trail of Quang Tri Province. Walking the point, kids, is the man that goes out front. He's the one that either gets shot at or hits a booby trap, or they let him go and then attack those men coming up behind him. It's a place where a vast majority of point men were killed. Suddenly, he came upon five North Vietnamese soldiers. Private Coker fired back with several shots. The enemy fled in a nearby cave. The rest of the 2nd Platoon rushed toward the cave and began taking fire from it and from hidden enemies. One Marine was wounded in the initial burst. He went down, and the rest of the patrol scrambled for cover. Now listen to this. A Marine goes down. Those soldiers of the 2nd Platoon scramble for cover. But Private Coker did not hesitate. He rushed forward to rescue the fallen Marine. And when he did, he is hit by fire and knocked to the ground. Still, he ignored those painful wounds and crawled forward. He lobbed the grenade into the enemy position and silenced his guns. He then crawled to the side of his comrade and began pulling him to cover. Private Coker is now dragging a fellow Marine soldier. Just then an enemy grenade landed on top of the wounded man. Private Coker grabbed it, turned away from the other Marine, but it exploded before he could toss it away. Miraculously, the blast did not kill Coker, but showered his face and his body with fragments. Even then, he didn't stop. Private Coker took hold of the wounded Marine and began dragging him to safety. Two more grenades exploded nearby, further peppering Coker with hot fragments. But he continued crawling along the jungle floor, inspired by his actions. The rest of the platoon surged forward, picking apart the enemy defensive line until they were able to grab Coker and his comrade and move them to safety. But so wounded and bleeding was Ronnie L. Coker that he died in a comrade's arms. PFC Ronnie Coker's body was returned to his Nebraska hometown, where he was buried in Fairview Cemetery. From his heroism of saving a fellow Marine in Vietnam, he was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. Now I tell that story to illustrate. Hey, tons of other men that was just as brave as a lot of other men had that soldier's heart. I believe while God's hand has been on America, He's given our men the spirit of David. He's give our men the fight and the power and the boldness and the courage. That's why we got to pray for them. I'm going to read you a poem that touches my heart. It's called No Freedom Isn't Free. What a poem. No freedom isn't free. I watched the flag pass by one day and fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud, with haircut square and eyes alert. He'd stand out in a crowd, or any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears. How many pilots' planes shot down? How many died at sea? How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen. When a flag had draped the coffin of a brother or a friend, I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. So many have paid the ultimate price, that being their lives. They left the safety, the peacefulness, and the comforts of their home, their family, and their friends. Surrendered their plans for education, their plans for a career. Some have suffered the loss of sight and forfeited limbs because of modern medical technology. So many of our soldiers now that would have died in other wars have now lived, and they're radically, physically disabled. Loss of legs, loss of arms, face blown about half off, their mind so damaged by what they faced. My God, there's men all around us that's paying a price even in this day, and the low down liberal press has taken away the significance of the American soldier. I don't have to agree with the war to love the soldier. I'll tell you, a man that went to Afghanistan, a man that went to Iraq,
a man that went to Desert Storm. I'll tell you, man, World War II. Any man that's fought in Afghanistan or Iraq is just as glorious as a World War II veteran or a Civil War veteran. A man that preaches the gospel today is as precious as George Whitefield in the eyes of God. Man that suffered the sweat of Vietnam and the serpents and the rats and the condition is just as significant in my eyes as a World War I veteran. They're all heroes. D-Day. D-Day. H-hour. What does D-Day mean? D-Day designates the day. H-hour designates the hour on which a combat attack or operation is to be initiated. D-Day. The initiation of the conflict. D-Day, June the 6th, 1944. Some 156,000 American, British, and Canadian forces landed on five beaches along a 50-mile stretch of the heavily fortified coast of France's Normandy region. Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juneau, Sword Beach. We have the equipment for amphibious landings, as those carriers would take out men when they landed in France on headed toward the shore. The front door would open. Dozens of soldiers would pile into that water, storming the hills around Normandy. Many of them dying, hundreds dying in the beach. Nazi soldiers were already entrenched on the beaches and in the hills. They massacred soldier after soldier as they stormed the beach through the water. What are they doing? They're trying to stop Hitler. They're trying to keep German from being America's language. That's why. Many never made it to the beach, was cut down by Nazi machine gun fire. Soldiers stormed the beach, then spent hours climbing up the hills, being peppered with bullets from pill boxes. Those pill boxes were fortified machine gun pits from which a gunner could control the area. I mean, you're up there, those men come across that beach and those pillboxes, those machine gunners are just mowing them down. It was costly to take a pillbox, but it was more costly not to. As the Allied forces slowly moved up the hill, the pillboxes were blown up and captured and machine gunners killed. When the hill was finally taken, the American flag would be erected and flown at the top of the hill. By nightfall on June the 6th, 1944, over 9,000 Allied soldiers were either dead or wounded. 2,499 American fatalities in one day. 1,915 from Allied nations. 4,414 were dead on the first day of conflict. Called D-Day. No, freedom is not cheap and it's not free. There's another hill that's fortified. It's fortified by sin. A lot of men try to conquer that hill, but there's all cut down by sin. Flaming darts of the enemy. Nobody could defeat death. Nobody could defeat the devil. Nobody could defeat sin. Every soldier that tried to conquer it was conquered by it. No soldier could get past the enemy fire, the pill box of iniquity. It seemed like the situation was hopeless. Who could save the world from such an enemy? That's what people said in World War II. the Axis powers of Mussolini, of Japan, and of Germany, Hitler. Who can save us from such an enemy? At headquarters, they had one man that could defeat the enemy. Just one man. Never been but one man born that could ever storm the hill of sin and defeat the enemy and deliver all those taken prisoners by sin and death in hell. The enemy mustered all of its forces to bring down this one soldier. This one soldier was captured in a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They abused him to the point that any ordinary man would have died. Then the enemy of man, sin and Satan, and iniquity and death, decided to display this one soldier. And they took him, carried him up the hill of sin and the hill of death and the hill of satanic power. When they got to the top, in ultimate humiliation, they stripped him of all of his clothes and nailed him to a wooden cross. Now, what they didn't know, how the enemy, death, sin, and the devil were playing right in to the hands of that one soldier. The enemy's nailed to a cross. They'll pierce his side with a sword. Out comes blood and water. And the enemy shrieked with glee. Oh, celebrating, glorying in his victory. Then all at once the enemy stopped laughing and his blood began to chill. There in the shirt of that supposedly dead soldier was a hand grenade. And he looked down and the pin had been pulled and the grenade was between his feet. He was paralyzed with fear and he looked up at that dead soldier. I realize he's alive. And the Lord said, it is finished. Into my hands I commit my spirit. And that grenade of gospel truth went off. And the fulfilled prophecy of the word of God. And the blast was heard. And the dirt rose up. And in 3 days up from the grave, that soldier that went to the top of that hill and defeated sin and death and hell and Satan come out of the grave. And the cross is empty. And the tomb is empty. And for every man that his heart is empty, thank God this soldier can come and liberate and deliver you by his mighty and his holy power. One day, we're going to get one last look at the enemy. We're going to be real brave because that one soldier is going to be right beside us. One that liberated us from sin and death and hell. And the question is, why would that one soldier climb that hill? For people, a lot of them would never accept him. A lot of them never bow to him. A lot of them would curse him. And even those that he would save would dishonor him. I'll tell you why he done it. John 15:13, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'll tell you the greatest act of love and mercy that a human being can do for another human being is to die in the cause of freedom on a battlefield. But the greatest cause there's ever been and the greatest level of sacrifice and commitment was on a hill far away where stood an old rugged cross. Our blessed Lord God and Redeemer shed his blood, give his life freely for you and for me. That we could have freedom and liberty. No, freedom isn't cheap. Salvation isn't cheap. Redemption isn't cheap. The church was purchased at the greatest price that's ever been paid. She became the pearl of great price. It's all because of a soldier, a warrior, a conqueror, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, and our Redeemer. So tomorrow on Veterans Day, think of veterans. Meditate on the soldier sacrifice. But don't stop there. Till you've climbed Mount Calvary and seen where he died, visit the empty tomb where he come out alive. Look up to heaven where he's seated at the right hand of the Father, where he sprinkled his blood before the altar in heaven on the mercy seat, securing eternal redemption for us. Traditions are important if they're the right ones. Honor the veteran, but honor Christ by accepting him, trusting him rather, in salvation and living for him. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Sister's coming to get a song. Whatever's on her heart. I don't know what you need to do, but I'd suggest doing at least two things. Thanking God for our military, our soldiers, but thank God for the great soldier, the Lord Jesus. If you don't know him, what can I say? If he's drawing you to himself, surrender to him. God, help us. We don't want them perished. Jesus paid it all. He sure did. All to him owed.